Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. You know, I don't know about you, but I know I can raise my hand that at one time in my life, I struggled with what I've always referred to, and I'm sure you've heard of, as Superwoman Syndrome, right? And like so many other women, including my guest today, I paid the price. And that's why I love holding conversations that, like we're about to have today, because I don't want you, my audience, the women who are in the sacred circle, learning the hard way. So overbooking and undersleeping have almost become like status symbols, and having it all seems to be synonymous with doing it all. Yet what do we really accomplish with so much busyness? Yvonne Talley wants to give you back your life by helping you break the busyness habit, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I love it because I have a book, I've been checking her out, and she offers these realistic, step-by-step, and this is my favorite part, fun ways to get off the busyness hamster wheel and reclaim your time. Yvonne is author of Breaking Up with Busy, and leads meditation and de-stressing programs for corporations, individuals, and private groups in Silicon Valley. An NLP master practitioner, Yvonne co-founded Poised Incorporated, a Pilates and wellness training studio, and is the founder of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Scarves, a charity that provides headscarves to cancer patients. We were just talking that she lives in sunny California, and I'm over here in Massachusetts, and we were just talking about the big differences. So welcome, Yvonne.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you today, Linda.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you because, as we were talking about off air, this is something I see. I have a large community of women, and this is something that comes up in conversation all the time. They feel like they don't have time for what I consider now the important things in life. Take us back to your own journey and your awakening to realizing that you were struggling with Superwoman Syndrome.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, we want all to be a part of a group. And when we see others doing, especially our reference group, the people that we share our lives with, and when we give the stamp of approval to do one thing or the other, then we follow suit, and that's kind of what gets this ball rolling, the busy ball, if you will. For me, I was so busy teaching others how to live a vibrant life and a healthy lifestyle, growing a business, raising my daughter, that I missed my own signs of busy and overscheduled. You know, my fast pace, sleepless nights, crammed schedules, all of that landed me in the hospital in the emergency room thinking that I was having a heart attack. It was so extreme. And what I found out was that I was having a panic attack brought on by stress. Now, what was interesting for me in this moment was I felt such shame. I was embarrassed. Here I was, this organic eating, meditating, healthy exerciser, and teaching people how to have this vibrant and healthy lifestyle. And here I was. And I thought, if this can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. So I needed to find answers. And kind of, it was really interesting when the doctor came in and he said, oh, he said, you're fine. He said, I see this all the time with women. You've had a panic attack. And at first, I was offended that he would make that statement like that. And then I got curious, and that's really what started this journey for me. As I said, if it happened to me, if I could put myself in this space, there's got to be a bigger story. And I've got to find solutions not only for myself, but for others as well. And here I am.
So what's the time period between that panic attack that day in your bathroom that I read about to today in this, you know, publishing, breaking up with Busy, just so I can...
Yeah, that process took a while. The panic attack happened in, I believe it was 2012. And then I went on to do my master practitioner training with neuro-linguistic practitioner, programming. And that took quite a while. And then developing my techniques and solutions and practices. So that took a while. And then to actually write the book was a 2-year process.
But see, that's a lot you got done in 6 years. And the reason I asked that question, Yvonne, is I notice many of my guests, their mess becomes their message. It fuels something inside them where they say, I do not want this to happen to another woman. And it, like, fuels their passion. So for me, I can see the correlation of that's an accelerated passion. Path in 6 years, but it was fueled by your passion to serve and empower other women, so it didn't happen to them.
Correct, and yeah, I would agree with that too. And for it's really interesting, and I always say what we pay attention to is what we create. What we give energy to is what we grow. And I had been, as I said, I'd been working in this field for 25 plus years. And I didn't realize I had all of these solutions right at my fingertips. They were exactly what I had been teaching and training my clients to do through fitness, through health, through nutrition. And when I started doing my training for neuro-linguistic programming, that mindful piece and the spirituality really came full center. And it just all came together actually very quickly as far as putting the solutions and the practices and writing the book. It was seamless for me because it was just fueled by what I was really putting my attention to, and that was what I wanted to create. And that's a very important piece, that if we choose to get swallowed up and mixed up in the quagmire and the muck of what we don't want, what we fear, we are just giving that fuel and creating more of it. So the key is to start to ask the question, what do I want? What do I desire? And how I'm going to create more of that.
I love it. It's like focusing on the opposite of what your current experience is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you said it earlier, too, about the fuel. You know, I always think that challenges are just opportunities in disguise. And we often hear a person say that, but they really are. And when we can change that perspective and find the light, my mom always said, look for the positive. We hear that a lot nowadays, but you go back 50 years, that wasn't a real popular thing to say. And this was a woman who was a single mom, raised 6 kids plus. There was always people running in and out, it seemed like. And she always had a smile on her face and a positive attitude. She was tough as nails, but she always said, look for the light. So I was very lucky to have that perspective early on. Not everybody has that. And so they reach a point in their lives where they know something doesn't feel right, and they want to change that, but they don't know how, and it seems overwhelming. And here's another thing that I have to add to my list. I have to be better. I have to exercise. I have to meditate on all the have-to's. And when we break that down into small chunks, what I call a small chunk process, then it becomes much more doable. So the key is to slow down and just start to take one step at a time and create one small change at a time.
Your mom's and it was an inspiration ahead of her time.
Oh, yes, she still is.
and I love that because it set the groundwork for you, right? And that's how I am. I raised my daughter, who's now going to be 34, and now she's raising a 6-year-old daughter, and we talk about all this stuff. Right, and
that's
I love when she says, "This day is getting so busy," and she just drops into lotus pose. The first time she ever did that, it just brought tears to my eyes. I'm like, even if she does that for 30 seconds, she knows to do it. She did that when she was 5.
And yeah, that is beautiful.
Yeah, because I didn't have that, right? So, and as you know, we grow up in a household and everyone's doing the best they can. And so we all have these different scripts running, right? So I think in some cases, that's how this overachieving gene comes to life. And when we come back, we're going to jump over to our first break because I want to dive right into talking about this in depth without interrupting you. So I'll be back in a moment, everyone, with Yvonne Talley, and you can learn more at YvonneTalley.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And guess what, ladies? We're talking with Yvonne Talley, author of Breaking Up With Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. And I don't know about you, but I have to be very conscious so that I don't fall into my old habits, which we'll talk about a little later in the show. So, Yvonne, what do you believe led to this whole thing about busy becoming a status symbol and a way of life? Because I'll tell you, it's everywhere.
It really is. Well, I think it's a very layered process or several occurrences and trends and shifts that occurred. But if I had to break it down, I'd say that it's a culmination of economics, technology, and a disconnection from nature. It's a fast pace of continuous comparisons of trying to keep up or outdo with who has what and who has more, who has less. So if we take each of them one by one and we talk about economics, you know, when economies grow and incomes rise, time is seen as more valuable. And we don't want to waste it, so we pack in as much as we can do every day. And we become, become very busy. So today, as you said, there's a status attached to being busy. It makes us feel more important and valuable. And thanks to technology and social media, we are reminded constantly that everybody is busy and it becomes a new normal. I'm busy is so subtle yet so recognizable as a way to connect with others or identify with one another. And as I said earlier about the reference group, the people that we share our lives with, for us to be a part of that group, and who doesn't? We're human beings. We're social by nature. So if we see the other people in our reference group that are they're busy, then we have to be busy too. I always say leisure is the new lazy, and we don't give it the importance anymore that we do to take that time. The other part of that economics the economics of it is, let's face it, we earn 80 cents, women earn 80 cents on the dollar compared to men. If you're a woman of color, that's about 63 cents on the dollar. Women working outside of the home, two-thirds of those women have school-age children, and we still take on the lion's share, or I should say the lion's share, of the domestic life, 80% more. And then when we put technology, and I think this is an important point to make, when we put technology into it, even though there's vast, fantastic things that have come from technology, we see that our ability to engage and unite quickly and to make strong positions and really valuable movements in our culture and life that can happen much more quickly because of technology. The downside of it is that we spend an average of about 5 hours more a day just being checking our phone, being on our phone. We check our phone, 80 times a day. We touch it nearly 3,000 times a day. So these are all things that we're incorporating into our daily life. And the last one I think that people forget a lot about, and that is that disconnection with nature. You can now place a live picture of a fireplace burning brightly on your computer, so you don't really need to go out and get the logs and build your own fire. You can buy fruits and vegetables without ever touching or even seeing them and having them delivered to your home. And you can hike a trail while on a treadmill in a gym rather than really getting out. So that disconnection from nature, well, what happens to us in nature is we calm down and we connect. We're human beings. We're live. And nature is the same. It's a live ecosystem that requires us to be a part of, I believe, for everything to flourish together. So I think connecting with nature more, disconnecting with technology maybe more, and then being aware of the economics that are creating this busy pace. Once we recognize that and we pay attention to that, then we can start to make some shifts. Because how can we change something if we don't know that it's there or it needs fixing?
Oh, exactly. And I believe, and from my own experience, that our bodies are always given us signs. And we have to tune in and listen. And I'll share my experience in a few moments. But in your experience, back when you look back at that panic attack that day you wrote about in the book, where, you just, fell to the floor. If hindsight 20 being 2020, can you look back before that and see that your body was giving you signs that you were too busy to see?
Yeah, I definitely, now that I, that's a great question. The biggest one for me, Linda, was sleep. There was a certain pride that I was taking on only sleeping 5 hours a night. And then when I started to do the research on how that was affecting my brain and my body, because all of this led to a lot of research to write the book, I thought, oh my goodness, if I'm going to, meditation is powerful, positive thought is powerful, but what about the mechanics? What about just the nuts and bolts of what my body needs? It needs its sleep and its rest. It needs its quiet time. It needs time I have a time now where all the electronics go off at a certain hour of the day, and I don't cheat myself on that. I keep them off. It's very important. So I would say for me, it was definitely sleep. It was definitely electronics. I didn't have any problem with the nature part of it because I've always been in nature, out running, really enjoying that. But the other two pieces, resting, sleep, and disengaging from technology. Those were popping up for me. And I was very sleepless, lots of insomnia. So I had to find new ways, better sleeping hygiene, and that made a huge difference.
I'm glad you shared some of the signs, too, because I think we just create habits in our lives that we don't even see are self-sabotaging because we're just so used to doing them. The technology thing's a big one, right? And I'm guilty too. Sometimes I'm like, you picked up your phone 5 times in the last 15 minutes. What? To make sure my daughter didn't text me? Well, what about the days before I had a cell phone or before our mothers, had a phone in the house? The world kept spinning.
Right. That's a really interesting point that you bring up too. And again, I'll use my mom as an example of that. She'd say, go outside. I don't want you coming back until 5. I mean, she didn't know where we were. There was no phone to call us. And
same thing.
We all came back. we all came back. And there's something really interesting that happens for our children when we do that. We then put them in charge of their confidence to make a choice. Their self-reference, they can make a choice and a decision. Maybe this isn't such a good idea to, you know, throw rocks at passing cars going by, rather than having us always being the one that's telling them what not to do. I mean, that's an extreme example, what not to do and to do. So releasing that technology or releasing that connection always, all the time with our kids is important for them to be able to have that confidence built within them that they can make choices and decisions that are independent and to also experience the consequences from the ones that didn't go quite as they planned. That's equally important. So it's just, yeah, the signs are, they're there if we take a moment to look at them, but we aren't typically going to see them until after we're on the other side. And that's important. What got me here? How did I get here? And how can I travel a different path going forward?
Exactly. And I had mentioned to Yvonne, you know, before we jumped on the line, I said, you know, I started reading the book a couple of weeks ago, and it was almost as if, like, she was in my head, right? So I get to chapter one, and it's Confessions of an Overscheduled Woman. And the first sentence is, if you are an overscheduled woman, you possess superwoman-like powers that leave others scratching their heads as to how you get so much done. And it goes on. And in that paragraph, it described, Yvonne, where I was when I was 40 years old. And for reference, I'm 56 now. And I had a different business. I had a retail store. And I was that woman. And I used to do a lot in my community, so I would get a lot of media attention. And the day I had my soul awakening, yours was, you know, the panic attack in the bathroom, was a local publication had shadowed me for a week. And I didn't know what they were going to write. You know, you have no idea. And when the magazine came out, all kinds of people were coming in my store and they're saying, you know, congratulations. And I'm like, oh, God, what is it? What did they write? And guess what it was, Yvonne? And the headline was, Superwoman's cape must have been behind the door, like hanging behind the door. And it went on to say how my day unfolded, what I used to do for people, etc. But let me share what my experience was. So all these people are congratulating me, Yvonne. And my soul, which I didn't use that language back then, but now I know who was speaking to me. Mm-hmm. My soul saw that headline, and I got all these people around me, and all I'm saying inside is, please let me get to my private office. Please let me. So I'm just saying, thank you, thank you. I got in my office, and I locked the door, and I hit my knees sobbing. And I said, how can I ever take this cape off now? And my body had already been giving me signs. I was doing 14, 16-hour days, four iced coffees a day, because I wanted to serve. I wanted to help. I ignored the signs for another 6 months and had a mini stroke at 40 years old.
Oh.
That knocked me, my whole center off. So when I read that, I know the pain. I know both sides. I know what it felt like to think I had to be Superwoman for all the false reasons that I believed, right? It was self-worth, validating myself. Well, if I can do a little bit more, I will be worthy, right? Worthy of what, right? Like, I'm worthy already. You're worthy already. Have you found a lot of women in your research that's what drives them, their lack? And that was my driver. Full transparency, I've been on this path now since, 16 years of the spiritual and personal development path. Do you find many women are in this place because of self-worth, or lack of self-worth?
You know, I'm not sure it's that. That would be certainly true for some. That would be one of the examples or characteristics or experiences I think some of the women have had. I would say the thing that binds this overscheduled, busy lifestyle, at least what my experience, the research and the book of, you know, what I wrote about, was that there is, let's face it, this isn't just the U.S., this goes everywhere. So I think women, and I'm going to make some broad sweeps here, that the overscheduled woman certainly is. She's well-intentioned, and
yes.
She's also an over-deliverer. So it's that beyond expectation attitude. And typically, her own expectation is far more than any of the others. So we set that up right there. It's that get-it-done attitude. I love this quote from Gloria Steinem years ago when she said, "You can't have it all if you have to do it all." Well, we forgot that second part. I heard somebody on the news yesterday on a TV show say, women can have it all. If you want your career and you want a family, you can do that. If you don't want a family and we can do it. We can do everything. So my point is that we're still sending this message. If you want to live a busy pace and you want to have what your all is, and that could be what I call the big three, you know, the family, the career, and how about some self-wellness, then you got to make some adjustments because something has got to give at some point. So I would say that definitely that women have this sense that we have to get it all done, and we are fueling this, each of us, each woman. I've done it. You've probably done it. Many of us have done it where we keep that busy pace. Like you said, we keep the cape on. And then everybody, our reference group looks at us and says, well, she's doing it, so I need to do it too. And it just gets on that spinning wheel again. And it's not a bad intention that we come from. It's, you know, we are well-intentioned, but by doing it and then doing it well and then doing it again, other women that we share our lives with feel they need to do the same. And that we start to reference one another for that. And here's the big one. You said you have a daughter. I have a daughter also. Guess what we did? We taught them how to do the same thing. So the other women that we're influencing in our lives, not just our children, if we don't have children, we're still influencing other women in our lives, whether it be professionally or caregiving or whatever it may be. And they're going to look to us for those examples. So if we've got our cape on and we're flying high and fast, they're going to think they need to do the same thing. So we might not be able to change what we've done in the past. We are stepping forward now, doing it differently, and by doing so, we will help others to do the same. So to answer your question, I would say that it's that we're well-intended, that we over-deliver, and it's that get-it-done attitude. Now, where does that come from? Yeah, self-worth probably plays into there. You know, it definitely has something to do. For instance, that one of the types is an alpha. She's typically got a subconscious fear of failing or just being average, and that's what helped, you know, kind of thrust her forward to always be competitive and aggressive and can be at times domineering. Those aren't bad things, but those are certainly things that can end up holding her back. You know, the pleaser is going to get sidetracked by her need for recognition and acceptance, and that could, again, be self-worth. But it's slowing down enough to recognize, what are my gifts? What do I have to share? Slow down, take account, and discover and explore your own individual gifts. And then you can start to use those more often and more consciously. And you'll feel better.
I love it. And I love that you've done so much research for this book. You also live the experience. So there's so much wisdom in the book that I'm so thrilled that you're here today. Because like you, I want to be of service. And we don't want women struggling with this anymore. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about some of the traps that overscheduled women can fall into. Because I feel that sometimes we don't even recognize it when we're there. And I'll be back in a moment with Yvonne Talley of YvonneTalley.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
We can all use a little more peace and joy in our lives. Don't you agree? Counselor, best-selling author, and self-nurturing expert Kelly Grimes of CultivatingPeaceAndJoy.com is passionate about empowering overwhelmed and exhausted women to live with more peace, joy, and meaning through the practice of self-nurturing. Through her experience working with individuals, speaking, providing workshops, and teaching professional and leadership development to forward-thinking organizations, Kelly knows that nurturing peace in the world begins from the inside out. That's why she created the free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app that brings you beautiful self-nurturing reminders, guided meditations, empowering practice tools, and daily prompts with an inspiring question to guide your daily self-nurturing practice. Download your free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app today at cultivatingpeaceandjoy.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTR-FM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and today this is all about breaking up with busy. Are you ready for a little more spaciousness in your life? Are you an over-scheduled woman? So Yvonne's here with me today. Yvonne is the author of Breaking Up with Busy, and this is what we're talking about. So what are some of the other traps that overscheduled women can fall into that they're not even aware of that they're doing? What might it look like in their life right now?
Yeah, you know, traps are funny. They kind of, one of the things I say is they're often reinforced by the shoulds of life. We use that word quite often. And a lot of self-judgment going on. And, you know, we just are trying to get so much done that we're forgetting what is enticing us to have that attitude. The biggest thing falling into traps is when we inadvertently attach our emotions to the outcome. We become so focused on what that outcome is and so engaged and invested that our emotions get tied in with that. And we have to really step back and say, okay, what are the facts? What can I do now? And what can I do to change the situation? So the traps are fueled by being that well-intentioned and that over-delivering. And one of those traps is the being all. You know, the allure is the praise that confirms that I'm okay. And setting the trap is that need for reassurance, affirmation, and the acknowledgement that we're valued and appreciated. And who doesn't want to feel that? And so she, getting into this being all trap, we apply enormous pressure on ourselves to be everything to everyone. And she, you know, she's the fixer, the problem solver, and it's often at her own expense of well-being. So for her, her breakout solutions are to be mindful of her needs and her wants without being tied to the approval of others. So that would be an example of one of the traps. And then there's several exercises in the book that she can go through to help her break out of that trap. One of them is, of course, practicing self-compassion, which is something very important. We talk a lot about that in our culture, about compassion, but we have to start with ourselves first to be able to show compassion for someone else. And then a couple of the other ones is the keeping up, the saying yes, and the overgiving, which seems to be a very, I don't know if I should say popular or not, but certainly a common one as well.
Yes, saying yes, I have so many friends who tell me, you know, they'll tell me they're doing something, and I'm like, oh, that's great. And they're like, no, it's not great. I don't really want to do it. I go, then why the heck did you say yes?
Oh, because that's so good the way you said that, yes.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't get it. So, and their reason is, well, because I should. And I said, like you said a moment ago, the moment I hear myself saying that word, I know I'm sliding backwards.
Yeah.
Because I'm not living from my truth, right? I'm living from something else. But I have this conversation one too many times, and now I'm conscious of my yeses.
There you go. That's the key. Well, see, that's the key. And I always say, exchange the word should for could. I should slow down, or I could slow down. It changes so much of how, not only how we're going to hear it, but how it's going to resonate with us. It's going to give us, it opens up possibilities and opportunities when we use the could rather than the should. The should puts pressure on us that it's something we have to do. And when you talk about living in your truth, it's awareness. It's getting to a place of awareness. And not all of us are at that same place. And I always say, awareness can't be undone. So that's why moving slowly and just picking up one page and reading it and finding, oh, yeah, I do say yes a lot. That is going to start to change the internal conversation for yourself. Because now, like you said, you're conscious of it when you do it. And that's the most important thing. Once we make that conscious move, then we can make conscious change. And saying yes is a big, big one for so many women. And I always say, take a breath before you say yes. Like, pause enough. You know, our brain is already going to say what it's going to say. It already knows that 6 seconds before it happens. So we have to pause it enough to make a decision. And I give them key ways to be, you know, do the artful exit, so to speak, where they can not overcommit by saying yes to everything. You know, it sounds like a great idea. Let me check my schedule type of thing, rather than saying, oh, yes, I'd love to, and then walk away like you said. Oh, gosh, that is not something I want to do. Why did I say yes?
That's exactly what I had to do when I realized I was one of those people many years ago that was saying yes. And here's the unfair part, if we really think about it, is when we say yes to someone else based on our shoulds, we are energetically resentful. And that's not a fun feeling on the other side, because whether you believe in energy or not, it does come through energetically. And so when I started becoming conscious of energy, I'm like, I had to train, and it was so hard, Yvonne. I had to train myself to go, can I get back to you on that? Can I get back to you on that? Because my mouth wanted to say yes, right, because of the old script. And that was a big one. But now I even told my clients is, take a break. Really ask yourself, do I really want to do this? Whatever it is, whether it's a business decision, a new project, or a relationship, or friendship, it doesn't matter what it is. How many times are you saying yes when you don't want to, which means you're selling your soul short. You're selling your authentic self short.
Well, we could even broaden that, too. You know, habits, first of all, habits are so efficient. They're important. It actually helps us conserve energy. So habits are crucial. It's the habits that we are not conscious of that are leading us down into the feelings or situations and experiences that are not feeding our soul. So we have to, as you said, you had to practice saying it differently. And that's building, I call, your mind muscles. When you talk about the energy part of it, there's even another piece to this, and that is, when we overgive and when we say yes, and by the way, let's just clearly state, being of service and helpful is, in my life, the most.
It is my life.
Critical.
Yeah,
it's critical. It's important. It's to have that mindset and to be of service and to be helpful. However, it does have limitations. And we're talking about the yeses, like you said, that just end up with resentment. But let's take a look at that and extend it beyond ourselves. And that is, when we're always overgiving, we take away that fantastic feeling of doing something really good or for someone else. We take away that feeling from another person, because there's the giver and the receiver. And what about that person that's receiving it? What about them having that experience of giving? So if we back off of our yeses and we do less yesing, we give another person the opportunity to be in that giving role. And I think that's important, because that feel-good feeling of, you know, you drop off, somebody can't get to wherever they need to go, and you say, I'm happy to drop that off for you. And you get the phone call, you know, later on that afternoon, thank you so much, that was so helpful. It feels great. it feels you get the boost of, you know, the dopamine, and you feel good about that, and you make a connection with that person on an energetic level, and you spread that good energy even broader. So that's what I ask people to really focus on, like, how can we change this in a way that we're giving that experience to someone else? We're sharing it.
Oh, that's a beautiful way of looking at it. It's more expansive.
Yeah, and aren't we all connected?
Exactly.
We have to remember that we're all connected. And like you said, you know, the energy around us cascades out and around and extends. I mean, I'm sure that, I don't know if your daughter lives close by. Mine lives on the other coast. And I know that I'm energetically connected with her. I can feel it, but I'm attuned to it. I've taken the time to make that attention and to develop that capacity, because that's what I want and that's what I desire. So taking the time to focus and shift our attention towards those things that we want to create more of is how we expand that energy.
It's so true. And my daughter's at 1/6 of a mile at the end of my dirt road. So, yeah, her and my granddaughter are right there. So I'm triple blessed. One of the things that you had said earlier about could and should and about what it feels like, what I noticed for me is when I said should, it felt so, my energy constricted. I felt judged, self-judgment, right? But could is so expansive, filled with possibility, that it was empowering, where the other one was disempowering. And once I saw that energy difference and felt the energy difference in my body, that's when I began to become aware of it. And I just was led to share that, because see how you feel in your body when you say these words that we use all the time. And like you said, just start re-scripting based on that.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point that you make also about feeling, because, you know, busy, as I say, busy is seductive, and it can keep us from feeling a lot of things. Because if we're so busy and our energy is so distracted, how can we really slow down enough to have a conversation with ourselves? How can we replenish ourselves from a mindful, spiritual, and soulful way if we haven't given it the nutrition and the time and the honoring that it requires? And that's what we find in meditation and quiet and in nature. So it becomes really important that I see what's happening often is that people have disconnected from what they feel because they're out of the practice of tapping into what they feel, because, quote, they don't have time to feel anything. They just have to get stuff done. That's not what we're about. That's not, I don't believe that's what a human being is about. It's not just doing things. It's about feeling them as well. So a technique that I learned from one of my guides and teachers was, she would always say, what is your heart speaking? And when I use that technique with a client in the beginning, most often they'll tap into their heart. I have them physically place their hand on their heart, and they'll say, well, I just shouldn't do that. It should be something, and so on and so on. I didn't get to that. No, is that a feeling? They're so disconnected with what they feel that they go right into the actions and the shoulds instead of the feeling. They're still in the doing. So it's a practice. It's something that we have to and when I first started doing this, when I first started tapping into what's my heart feeling, what's my heart saying to me, I had to really focus on that. Now it comes naturally to me, but I had to practice and learn to listen to my heart. And like I always say, your heart will always speak the truth.
Oh, it's so, so true, and that's a beautiful example. We're going to jump over to our last break, and then we're going to come back, and I want to talk about I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Okay.
I want a tip, because I have all young teens and girls in my 20s. My daughter's 34, but I have nieces in their 20s, and they are so connected to their social media. I'm sorry, to their phones, it's like it's a new arm. Share some tips when we come back from break. Something I can tell them just to try, right? So we can try to guide them into letting this damn thing go.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back in a moment with Yvonne Talley of YvonneTalley.com. Be sure to swing by her website and check out her new book, Breaking Up with Busy. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Isn't it time for you to listen to your own internal compass, your intuition, rather than listening to all those around you? When you learn how to navigate using your intuition, you'll discover how to hear your soul's whispers so you live a life of purpose, joy, and abundance. Soulwise Living mentor Laura Clark provides women with the empowering tools and support to help them tame their inner critic, calm their emotions, and ground themselves so they can hear, trust, and act upon their inner guidance. If you're ready to awaken your intuition, visit soulwiseliving.com to schedule a complimentary sacred soul chat, read Laura's inspiring blog posts, and discover an array of free supportive resources.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations, and we are talking about overwhelm and, being on the hamster wheel. So that question came up. It's a personal one for me. I have a large family, lots of nieces, and I just can't believe how much this generation, the ones like from 18 to 24, it's like an extension of their body. Yeah. And so there's one in particular I've been talking to because she has a lot of anxiety. And I said to her, well, put the damn phone down. You are constantly getting pinged from other people's energy who it doesn't mean just because they text you or message you that you have to be there, especially someone sensitive like her. What would you say to someone that wants to help their niece?
Yeah,
let go.
Well, I have a millennial daughter, and I do want to say, if I can, a couple of things about that generation, and that is, I think they've gotten a bad rap. I think there's certainly, I just turned 61, so for me, when I it took me a while to get here. When I look at this millennial generation, I have a completely different attitude about what they're doing. I have accepted the fact that it is completely different than the generation that I grew up in, obviously. I mean, that's a given. So taking their phones away is like ripping that third arm off of them. They don't know them. They don't know any other life except having an abundance of technology. What we have to do is try to get them to balance that connection with nature. So how are we going to do that? If we tell them to put the phone down and they're anxious, and by the way, anxiety is a big thing for this generation.
Yes.
And this is where technology has a double-edged sword. Because they're in the comparison game and they're constantly watching and comparing themselves to all of the glossy, filtered, beautiful pictures on Instagram and all the other social medias, they create this anxiety about not being enough and not keeping up, and will they ever be able to get ahead and do what they're supposed to do, and will I ever be as good as my parents because they've done X, Y, and Z. Some of that we all feel from one generation to next, but it's really amplified for the millennials. And they get into this sense of anxiety is just rampant, right? Well, here's the good part of technology. They've shared that with each other. They're much more open. You know, their whole life is an open book. So they've talked about being anxious and having panic attacks, probably the first generation that's done that without judgment. They just, I'm so anxious. Yeah, I had a panic attack. I mean, growing up, that's not something we ever talked about. That was like, you don't talk about that. You're supposed to be perfect, right? That's supposed to be, not for anybody except for the people that we don't talk about. So that's a positive on that end. So now how do we help them? How do we help them find some space? The first thing is we acknowledge the fact that technology is addictive. It is. We know that. There's a lot of news around that now. So how are we going to break or change or adjust some of those habits? One of the things that they can do, and this is going to sound so basic and so simple, and it is take a deep breath. Now, why do I say that? There's this thing called the vagus nerve. It's the longest nerve in the body. It runs from the neck down to the abdomen. And when we do that, when we take a deep breath and engage the vagus nerve, which triggers within our nervous system, we slow our heart rate and we lower our blood pressure and we decrease the cortisol that's brought on by the stress and the anxiety. Simple. Tell her to put her phone down. Give her in a reasonable amount of time. Honey, put your phone down for 15 seconds and take a deep breath, and here's why. Give her the facts. Millennials want facts. Why are you telling me to put my phone down? It's my third arm. Well, here's why. You're going to slow your heart rate. You're going to lower your blood pressure. You're going to decrease the cortisol. Why is cortisol important? Because that's what's getting produced when you're anxious and stressed, and that's what leads to you not being able to think clearly. That's what's taking your attention away, and that's what's impacting your ability to problem solve. So slow down, take a deep breath is my first and number one thing I always tell anybody, particularly millennials, but you got to tell them why that's important. They're smart, and they want to know the facts.
I love that. And she, in her case, and I know this isn't every millennial, in her case, she knows it's affecting her. And
yeah,
she wants help, but she said, you know, they call me Amma. Amma, I try. I put it down, and I'm like, put it in a drawer for 15 minutes. Like, she's asking for guidance of how do I do this. She goes, I actually feel like something's missing from me. That's
okay.
Sad to me.
It is sad, but it's also, I look at that differently. When you said she feels like something's missing, I got kind of happy inside, and here's why. Because she's on that verge of making a discovery. She knows something isn't quite right that's running around within her.
Yes.
And so now you get to help her find that path. When we tell a millennial or anybody that's, you know, feels an addiction towards their technology, their phones, particularly, remember, that's 5 hours a day average. There's more or less to that. When we tell them to put their phone down in a drawer for 15 minutes, they look at us like we've just gone in their head.
Yes.
So we have to make it doable for them. And here's the great thing about it. Honey, set your phone on a timer, you know, they can put those timers right in. And every 45 minutes, take 1 minute to take deep breaths.
Yeah, that's doable.
It's doable, and you want her to start to develop a pattern, a habit. And then that will become second nature. My daughter, same thing. She calls me up. I'm so anxious. Okay, I change the tone of my voice. I match her tone.
Yeah.
I slow it down. Let's take some big, deep breaths together. And she reminds me of me when I call her and I'm like, oh, I've got this to do and that to do. Because I wrote a book about being busy and I've got a lot of answers for it, doesn't mean I still don't end up in that busy, you know, busy
trail. Of course.
But I get myself onto the right path much faster now than I ever have before. So it's, just small, simple, real basic things. Have them have a mantra for the day and maybe call it something different, like, what's going to be your tag for the day, honey? You know,
yeah,
you
speak their language.
Exactly.
We've shared some wonderful tips and strategies, and I want to invite everyone to go to YvonneTally.com, grab your copy of Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. So, Yvonne, in the last couple minutes that we have, if you were in an elevator with someone and you only had 30 seconds, what's the number one thing you would tell them to start doing now to get out of their busy, overscheduled lifestyle?
Oh, I'd start with that slow down. It has to start there. They have to slow down and keep their big picture front and center. And I always say this, take 3 minutes or 1 minute to meditate on what you want to bring in your life more. And start with that.
That's
basic,
beautiful.
And simple, practical.
I love it because, like you said, it's simple,
yes.
Right? It's anyone can do and start with that guidance. So thank you again for sharing all your wisdom with us today and for walking the path, right? For turning your mess into a message, you know, like so many of my guests have done. I love when someone has lived their message and then make it their passion and go out to serve and spread the message. So thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, Linda.
Well, everyone, I hope you join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more inspiring conversations with empowering women just like Yvonne. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.